Good morning. This is Mark Mays, pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Once again, it's good to be with you today, and we trust that today we could be a blessing and encouragement to you. Let's ask the Lord to help us this morning as we spend a few moments together. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity. We are thankful, Lord, for your word that you've given to us, you've written, and you've preserved it for us. And Lord, we can have the utmost confidence in it if we would but believe it. Help us, Lord, to believe, as we've so many times heard, Lord, in the New Testament, of the one who said, "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." Lord, I think many of us are there. We believe, but we still struggle with unbelief, all of us. We are a work in progress. And Lord, we need your help each and every day. Lord, help us this day. Speak to our hearts, Lord, please. Use your word and the power of the Holy Spirit to, Father, to illuminate the truth of your word. Lord, help us to hide it in our hearts so that we'll not sin against you. And Lord, help us to be what you want us to be. Help us to be holy and pure. Father, help us to be mindful, to be very careful, to live for you and to live like you. And may this Bible study, Lord, help in that direction. We're thankful, Lord, for you. We're thankful, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm continuing the series, going through the book of Proverbs, looking for biblical principles for practical living. Of course, Proverbs is not the only book in the Bible where we can find biblical principles for practical living, but it's the book that I've chosen to be going through in our Wednesday night services at our church for some time, and I have chosen also to use that here in the broadcast. You know, the Bible is full of great truth, and truth, the Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That verse is often misquoted, and it's quoted as, "The truth shall set you free," but it actually says it shall make you free. You know, truth is a process. Truth works through a process. Many times we think of getting in trouble. Nobody gets in trouble overnight, and nobody gets out of trouble overnight. Nobody gets in debt overnight where they can't handle it. Nobody gets out of debt overnight. There usually is a pattern. There is a process. And the truth in our life starts a process of making us free. And we need to develop it. It is principle upon principle, precept upon precept, line upon line that God uses and builds and teaches us and instructs us. And so as we're going through the book of Proverbs, we're looking for principles that we can identify and put into practice, preferably right away, certainly soon, if we haven't already done so. We are in Proverbs 15. We're in verse number 20. And that verse says this: "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." You know, it's sort of sad to think about a child who could grow up to the point where he would despise his mother, or a young lady, despising their mom or their dad for that matter. The Bible says, "A wise son maketh a glad father." In the book of Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, it says, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Think about that, the heaviness of his mother. I'm sure there are parents that are listening today. You have children that have brought, dare I say, heaviness to your heart. And you know the agony and the turmoil. And you know the concern that you have for those children. And you know the heartache that thinking about the choices that they have chosen and the way they've chosen to live and the different things that have happened in their life, you know that that brings great concern. And for many of you who are listening today, you're still in an attitude and have been of prayer for some time for your children, praying that God would turn them back to the things that you have taught them. And I pray with you that God would. But you know, many of you know and could speak personally of the pain and the agony of a son or a daughter who's gone the wayward way. You know, those of us who are children, obviously we all are, but for some of us, our parents are deceased and others, they haven't. But you know, there is a great opportunity to live in such a way that we could bring honor to our mothers and our fathers. You know, you only get one mom and one dad, and we would be well advised to do the best that we can as a child to honor them. You know, we certainly wouldn't want to live a life that would bring heaviness to our mother. You know, it's sort of sad to think about mothers and dads out there. They're just suffering because of the decisions their children have made. And I would say to you, this morning to myself, if we are, have the privilege of still having our parents alive, we need to make sure that we live in such a manner that they would be proud of us. Today, as I talk to you, I am 52 years old. My mother and my father's birthday is on February the 8th. My mother is exactly one year older than my father. My mother is 82, my father is 81. And to this day, I can say, by the grace of God, I still live to bring honor and respect to my parents. I still live to please them. I'm no longer under their house, haven't been since 1979, when I walked out on July 16th, my 19th birthday, entered the United States Air Force, and that was my last day there as a son living under their roof. Now, I'm still their son. I've been back many, many times to visit and still go down. But the point of it is, I've lived outside of my home since I'm 19 years old, but I still want to please them. There's something instilled within me that God put. I want to make mom and dad proud. That's still the heartbeat of my life, to make my parents proud, to make them happy with the choices that I've made. And I want to live in such a way that would honor them. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:15-16, "My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things." The father says, "My son, if thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice." What a great thought that is. My heart shall rejoice. I trust this morning that you want to make your mom and dad rejoice in the decisions that you make and the way you live. And I would say, if you happen to be living today or listening today, and you're living in a manner that you know is unpleasing to your parents, it brings them a pain and may perhaps even shame, I would encourage you to rethink your choices and decide, you know, do right. Do right for your sake. Do right for God's sake. Do right for your mom's sake. Do right for your dad's sake. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter where they live. Just do right. You'll bring rejoicing to them. And what a great opportunity that is. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 3, "Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance." Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. Boy, that's a great way to live. Amen. Proverbs 13, verse 1, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner hideth not rebuke." Learn to listen to your parents. You know, there's probably nobody on the face of the earth who has nothing to gain from anything you have. In other words, they brought you into this world. They've given themselves to you all of their life. You don't have anything that they need, because everything that you have, is they've given it to you, or giving you the ability to acquire it. They're not trying to undermine you. They're not trying to undercut you. They're trying to help you. There's nobody invested in your well-being more than your parents. We ought to listen to their instructions. They're not trying to manipulate us. They're trying to help us. Nobody cares for us like our parents do outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 23:24, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him." Again, just a great concept there, a great idea. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. I trust all of us are living righteous lives, and our parents will rejoice for that. The Bible still says in Exodus 20:12, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." That's still in the Bible. It's still true. Children, obey your parents, Ephesians 6, 1-3. "Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother," which is the first commandment with promise, "that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long in the earth." Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, "Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." You know, we have a opportunity each and every day when our parents are still living to honor them. But even if your parents have deceased, you can still honor their reputation. You can honor their memory by living a life that is becoming of what they have taught you. And I realize this morning there are some of you whose parents are not saved, and they never did trust Christ, or haven't yet. But you have, and praise the Lord for that. And you need to pray for your parents. But you know, by honoring them and respecting them, God often will use that to tender their heart and letting Christ be seen in you, the hope of glory. That often, they may not agree with your theology, but you know, they won't be able to argue with your attitude if it's proper and if it's Christ-like. If you live a wise life, they'll respect you for that. They'll admire you for that, and you'll have influence on them. And so this morning, you know, all of us, may we think of our parents. And for some, that would be a sad comment because your parents have deceased. But you can think about the fond memories. You can think about the blessings and all the many good times you've had with them. And for those of us who still have parents that are alive today, may we give them a call. If you haven't called them today, call them here in a little bit, or call them before the evening's over with, and just tell them you love them and remind them how thankful you are that God gave them to you as your parents. And live in such a way that you honor them and please them. You know what? What a great opportunity that is. And parents need that. And may God help us to live in such a way that we would honor our mothers and fathers and make them proud of us. They want so desperately to be proud of us. May we live in a way that they will be proud of us. We also find another principle here in Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15, verse 23. The Bible says, "A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it?" Probably one of the things that is, you know, dearest to my heart is my father used to teach me very often about the power of the tongue. He used to say to me, "Son, words are one of the most powerful things on this earth. They either build or destroy, and once you say them, you cannot take them back. Son, be careful how you speak." Boy, if I heard that once, I heard it hundreds and hundreds of times. My father spent a lot of time investing in me, trying to teach me how to use my tongue properly. Now, I haven't batted 1,000% at his instructions, but I will say this: I'm sure that I have done a lot better job having received that instruction versus not having received it. I would be better off if I'd have listened to it more often, but it has made a difference in my heart and my life. And I thank God for my father that taught me that. And I thank God that he understood it from the Bible, how important it is that the words of our mouth and the answer of our mouth, how important it is that a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You know, the words we say and how we say them, they mean things. And they mean things to people. They tell a lot about us. Our verbiage, the use of our words, the attitude in which we display while we speak, the terminologies that we use. Says a lot about us, says a lot about our education, says a lot about our standards, our convictions, our preferences. It just speaks volumes about who you are, the words you use, and how you use them. We need to be careful. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." That word corrupt, let no corrupt communication, it means let no worthless communication proceed out of your mouth. You know, many of us are probably guilty of, in the past, many occasions where we have allowed worthless communication to come out of our mouth. Just idle talk. Just words that don't make a lot of sense. They're not very good. They're not edifying. They're certainly not seasoned with grace. The Bible teaches us a lot about the tongue, particularly in the book of Proverbs. The word phrase, the Bible said the word in season there, as we read there in the latter part of that verse, or the middle part, a word spoken in due season. The word in season is the right word spoken at the right time. The right word at the right time. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." If you think about that phrase, "to everything there is a season," you could say this: saying the right thing at the wrong time or the wrong moment makes it the wrong thing to say. You know, sometimes we pride ourselves on, we say the right thing, but is it at the right time? Saying the right thing at the wrong time makes it the wrong thing to say at that particular time. You need to say it and be able to put it in a proper timing. Someone said this: the great requisite is that the word should be suitable for the occasion. We often think of things to say, but is it the time to say it? You know, the occasion must determine the character of the word. There's a time to say some things, and there's a time not to say them. A word spoken in due season, how good is it? At the proper timing. And so when we speak, we ought to think, number one, what am I going to say? And then secondly, is this the time and place to say it? Is there a better time? Is there a better place? Or is there a better way to say it? Should I use these words or those words? Giving some time and thought, and may I even say prayer. Lord, help me to say the right thing at the right time so that I can be a prophet to people, be a benefit. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verses 11 through 12, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. A wise reprover upon an obedient ear. There's a man or woman that says the right thing at the right time, and his word is received. A word spoken, fitly spoken, is like apples of gold and, like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, listen to this. This is a great verse. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. Notice what he says, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know, dear friend, this morning there's a proper thing to say, and there's a proper time to say it. The mouth of a man can bring great joy to others who hear it, or great harm. A word spoken in due season, how good is it? And don't we want to be doing good with our words? Don't we want to be doing good with the timing of our words? You know, this is a great principle to live by. We ought to pray, Lord, help me to say the right thing at the right time to my wife, to my husband, to my son, to my daughter, to my brother, to my sister, to my coworker, to my friend, to my neighbor, to my boss, to whomever. God, help me to learn to say the right thing at the right time. A Bible says a fool uttereth all his words, but a wise man keepeth them to afterwards. It doesn't mean he doesn't say them. He says them at the right time and in the right place. So God, help us this morning to take these two principles, learning to honor our mother and father, and learning to speak properly at the proper time. Two great principles that would benefit our lives and those around us. May God help us to apply these. I thank you for taking time to listen, and I trust you'll have a great day today.